Time for us to talk some Bruins hockey. To do that, we welcome in our friend Ty Anderson of 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hello there, Ty.
Rich, what's going on? Happy Halloween.
Thanks. Same to you. I'm going as an aging radio guy. How do I look?
You look great.
Thank you.
I love the costume.
Thank you. I had it right in the house, so it was pretty easy. Well, I know what we've seen so far from the Bruins, no tricks and a whole lot of treats. The best start in team history. Where did this come from? Did you see this coming?
You know, I thought they were going to be good this year, but even I couldn't predict 8-1 out of the gate. You know, goals from, 15 different players at this point. I mean, this is about as complete a team start that I've seen. And it's really remarkable because they haven't had their full assortment at all thus far, right? I mean, you're still waiting for Charlie McAvoy to come back. You've had Brad Marchand for all of one game. You know, Grizzly's been back. Carlo's been in and out. So this is impressive. And really, I think it's just, this is more than a buy-in with the new head coach. This is just everyone playing for one another every single night, which has just been really remarkable to watch.
Well, are they that happy to have Bruce Cassidy gone?
No, I don't think it's that as much that it's a renewed energy, I think, around the team. You know, you get Krejci back. Bergeron's back for another run. You do have the new coaching staff. Like, I just think that there's a lot of excitement around this team, you know, based off, it's almost like, okay, this isn't the end. There's still one more run in us, right? And we'll see what happens between now and the playoffs, but I do think that this is an injection of energy, enthusiasm, positivity, whatever you want to call it. But I do think that it's good at everything. But I honestly think it's the fact that they were able to sort of delay the retool or the rebuild, whatever you want to call it, right? Like, they were able to delay that. And now everyone says, okay, we got one more run. Let's see what we got.
Boy, and nobody playing better right now than David Pastrnak, who leads the league in scoring and just seemingly taking his game to a new level.
Yeah, I mean, this is contract year Pastrnak, right? I guess it's maybe you wanted to sign a one-year deal every year with this guy if he's going to produce like this. He's a man possessed right now, and it's funny because, you know, we really haven't even seen the best part of his game yet. It's that power play shot. It's that one-time bomb. You know, he has one goal on the power play this year so far. I mean, he finally breaks through. He you know, he's doing what he's doing or what he's done for years now, but at another level. So, you know, his price is going up every week, it seems like. So, you know, a lot of us are saying, what are you doing? Get this contract done. And maybe Pastrnak's camp is, you know, they have it right, saying, no, we're gonna wait because now we might be worth $13 million.
The trade with Vancouver is an interesting one. Was that a question of just trying to get some value for a guy who really didn't have a place on the roster?
Yeah, so you have a few issues there with that trade in terms of, you know, with Marchand back, you needed to create some roster flexibility, some roster movement. And Stanika was the sort of the odd man out in terms of, well, you didn't want to put him through waivers. And you didn't really have a spot for him, so what do? You find a team that needs a young center. That's Vancouver Canucks, and you make that trade. Now, I think that Jack Stanika, I think he tried hard. I just didn't see him ever find his footing here. And you know, his debut, listen, I thought he should have made the opening night roster, personally, based on the way he played in the preseason, but he didn't. And then his first game out there, he plays 8 minutes. He has a turnover that leads to a goal again. And he has two penalties. That can't happen. And so once he didn't get right back on the horse after that and they didn't put him back out there, I sort of thought, okay, the clock is ticking. They're going to find a move or they're going to waive him. Something's going to happen here. And sure enough, it ends up being a trade. But I think ultimately just a lot of stop and start development with Jack never quite found what he was good at the NHL level. And now he'll have to find that in Vancouver and see if it works.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. You wrote about the fact that the Bruins got Brad Marchand back ahead of schedule, and now it looks like maybe Charlie McAvoy will be back sooner than expected.
Yeah, today was the first day actually wearing a regular jersey, out of the no-contact jersey. So a little bit of bumping, a little bit of guys leaning on him. You know, this is the start, right, towards working back. This is the big obstacle, really, is getting used to the physicality. And then sort of getting your strength back, your timing back with all that. So the timeline is the head of December. It might even be a little bit ahead of Black Friday. I know there's people within the building who believe that. So this is sort of interesting here for the Bruins, where they had such a condensed schedule out of the gate. It was 9 games in 17 days, just a grind that really didn't allow you to have a lot of practice. November, they have 13 games in 29 days. So you look at that, and you see a lot more practice time. You see a lot more, non-game situations in terms of how hard guys can go, during their sessions, their pregame stays, et cetera, et cetera. So, I think that'll help him get up to speed. But he looks good. He looks good. So it's really about upping the contact, upping the physicality, and seeing how his body responds to that.
David Krejci going to be out tomorrow night, and it sounds like there's a pretty good chance we might not see him for the Rangers game on Thursday.
Yeah, really weird situation with him in terms of what the injury is. I've watched the clip about 30 times. We just know that he has a dust-up with Michael Rasmussen of the Red Wings. And he sort of leans down, and he's hunched over the entire time going back to the room, and we don't see him again. So it could be anything. I thought it was, he got a high stick. And I think if it were something like that, it'd be more, this would be over with by now. But there was imaging done. The update today is day-to-day. They are putting him in IR, which means that he will miss at least tomorrow's game. As you know, it could be back Thursday. Seems unlikely, but the fact that he traveled, this is a three-game road trip, the fact that he traveled with the team for this would lead you to believe that there is a decent chance, barring a setback, that he plays Saturday night in Toronto against Maple Leafs, and that's when he returns to the lineup. So, weird situation. Not sure exactly what it is. Haven't seen him. But something worth watching, I think, if you're the Bruins.
A good outing for Jeremy Swayman last time up, but it sure seems right now that Ullmark is the number one guy.
Yeah, his start has just been undeniable, in my opinion. I mean, he's just been fantastic. In terms of, on the PK, I think he's been fantastic. There's been large pockets of play where the Bruins have had to lean on him, and he's had to make some big saves. He's done that. He's tracking the puck very well. I just watch him, and the way he's navigating through traffic in front of him is really remarkable. He really seems to have found his groove here. Now, what I will say with Ullmark is that you can't overwork him. He's never been a workhorse type of guy. I know the Bruins still view their situation as a near down the middle split in net, so I expect to see more of Swayman here as the month progresses, but it's just really hard to sit a guy like this. He's 6-0 with a 9.45. I mean, we haven't seen anything like this since Tim Thomas back in 2010 in terms of a strong October. This is the best October that we've seen by a Bruins goalie since then. So really hard to sit him, but you got to remember, too, for the Bruins, that this guy is not built to play 60 games a year.
Everything has been going so well so far, but is there anything that this team really needs to work on as we get deeper into the schedule?
Yeah, I would say that this is going to be a big test. I mean, this alone is going to be a big test this week, where you have Pittsburgh, New York, and Toronto. And Toronto's been pretty mediocre out of the gate, but I think Pittsburgh and the Rangers have been two of the better teams in the Eastern Conference based on what I've seen so far. So, interesting tests and challenges. I think what you need really is you need to know when to play a tighter defensive checking game and when to open things up. I think they are finding when and where to do that. So to continue to develop in that realm, I think will be important. This is a Pittsburgh team that has been fantastic at home. They score goals on goals on goals. So you need to play strong defensively, I think, really heading into this game. So that's what I want to see. I want to see more of that. I know that 2-1 games can be kind of boring, but the fact they've won those games recently against Dallas and against Anaheim, I think that's important, because you're going to need more of those kind of efforts versus, the winning the 6-5 kind of game.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub, talking Bruins with us this afternoon. Ty, great to catch up. As always, enjoy the game tomorrow night, and we'll check in with you in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Ty Anderson, Bruins Talk on Downtown.